fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Uganda's northern town of Adjumani, where South Sudanese refugees are using the beautiful game of football or soccer to build peace, reduce gender-based violence, and give students a fun activity during the school holidays. They've organized a football tournament at the Agojo Refugee Camp, as we hear now in this feature from reporter Simon Peter Apiku.
Excitement among players is running high at football games in Agojo camp in the run-up to the tournament, where all 8 blocks of the camp are expected to compete. The tournament will run until the end of the first-term school holidays later this month. Martin Kurtsupitir, a tournament organizer, says the idea of doing something to engage students and other youth during the school holidays first occurred to them after a fellow refugee offered to sponsor a football trophy for the community.
We sat together, we came with this initiative of saying in this holiday we have to organize a tournament for them such that they can, we shall keep the youth busy. They will know what is good and bad. They will learn from the community.
Agojo Camp Chairman Awiyo William Angelo says in the past there was not much to keep students busy during the holidays, and many of them got involved in deviant behavior, including drug or alcohol-induced violence. Angelo says tournament matches, which will be played every day until the end of the school holidays, should reduce those kinds of problems.
Most of the youth used to spend their time on drinking alcohol. Once this football was organized, and right now you can see all of them are here at the ground, no one is drunk.
Letio Lili, a resident of Agojo's Block 2, came to watch the game with her children and cheer on her team that was taking on Block 11. She says such events relieve stress and reduce violent activity among refugees.
Like when you have problem with somebody at home, maybe you are likely to just avoid that kind of problems. You may come from home to the football places whereby that person may also keep quiet. He may even forget, or she may forget of what you people are in.
One big problem in the community tournament organizers hope to address, says Peter, is gender-based violence or GBV.
When we came here, there are a lot of cases of GBV. We don't know the laws of Uganda, whereby we lost even a lot of boys here. They were taken to a prison that is called Apengenzi.
Mexico Knight, another spectator at the games, says the inability of husbands to provide for their families the same way they used to can fuel tensions, often leading to domestic violence. She agrees the football matches generate excitement, which usually makes people forget their difficulties at home. Besides, says Knight, the games help foster unity among refugees.
I am in Block 2, then those who are in Block 11, I may get to know each other in one way or the other. Like if I don't know those people, then I will interact with them, I will know them, then they will also know me. It will build relationship among Block 2 and Block 11. Not only this, all the block, they may know each other.
Block 2 player Juma Michael Valente, who competed in Monday's match, says the tournament's ultimate objective is to promote peaceful coexistence within families as well as across the entire settlement.
Since we saw tsunamis, there we have a lot of conflicts due to not understanding each other. We want to ensure that each youth knows what is important. It is not only the job, but football alone even can promote peace in the community. So the major reason we organize is to also create peace in the community through football.
The winner of the tournament will receive a trophy and a cash prize of 50,000 Ugandan shillings or $13.50. The second place finisher will only receive 50,000 Ugandan shillings. Pitia says each Agodzo camp household contributed a cup of grain from their monthly food rations that organizers sold to raise for the cash prizes and money to pay the Ugandan referees of the tournament. For VOA News, I am Simon Peter Apiku in Adzumani.
Thank you, Simon Peter Apiku. I enjoyed your report. One quick African refugee note. The UN Refugee Agency says there are more than 1 million refugees from South Sudan in Uganda. That makes Uganda the African country with the most South Sudanese refugees. And the Sunny Side of Sports hopes football, the beautiful game, is helping make their life in Uganda a little better. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Johannesburg, South Africa, where there's lots of football excitement this Wednesday evening. Lionel Messi and Spanish League champions Barcelona are playing South African champions Mamelodi Sundowns in a friendly international match at FNB Stadium, formerly known as Soccer City Stadium. The game is part of celebrations to mark 100 years since the birth of South Africa's late president, Nelson Mandela. Fans shouted, "Messi! Messi! Messi!" when the Barcelona team arrived early Wednesday morning at O.R. Tambo International Airport. And those cheers continued, "Messi! Messi! Messi!" when he and his Barcelona teammates exited a bus at their hotel before this evening's game. Let's hear from a couple of fans who were at the hotel for Barca's arrival. First up, Tevin Cook.
It's an overwhelming feeling actually seeing the players live. It's one of the childhood dreams I think will come true, and I can't wait for the game tonight to actually see them play live.
Messi, Messi, Messi! Meanwhile, another South African fan at the Barcelona hotel, Ramba Rashi, broke down in tears after Lionel Messi signed his Barca jersey. Messi, Messi, Messi! As Messi walked through the lobby after Ramba collected himself, he had this to say.
Messi just signed my shirt and he's my best player. I support Barcelona since I was young and I'm so happy that he signed my shirt.
A happy Barcelona football fan, Ramba Rashi, speaking Wednesday in Johannesburg, South Africa. Lionel Messi and Barcelona clinched a 25th La Liga title on April 29th. As I mentioned on Monday's show, the Spanish club Levante spoiled Barca's bid for an unbeaten season when they defeated visiting Barcelona 5-4 in a wild match. And let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Levante's 21-year-old Ghanaian striker, Emmanuel Boateng, who had a hat trick in that game. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More African football news. And let's give yet another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Cameroonian striker Carl Toko Ikambi, who won the Mark Vivian Foe Award as the best African player in France's Ligue 1. The 25-year-old Ikambi plays for the French club Angers. He's the first Cameroonian winner of the award, which is named in honor of another Cameroonian, Mark Vivian Foe, who died after collapsing on the pitch in 2003. Wow, it's hard to believe it's been 15 years since the death of Mark Vivian Foe. Carl Toko Ikambi was born in Paris, but he's made 17 appearances for Cameroon's national football team, the Indomitable Lions. And Ikambi was a member of the Cameroon team that lifted the trophy at the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Gabon. This past season with Angers, Ekambi scored 17 goals, placing him eighth highest among all scorers in League One. Cameroonian striker Carl Toko Ekambi, the winner of the Mark Vivian Foe Award as the best African player in France's League One. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, former world heavyweight champion Tyson the Gypsy King Fury recently announced a comeback fight on June 9th after more than 2.5 years out of the ring.
The fire is back now, and it took over 2.5 years to get that fire back. I didn't think it was coming, I was waiting. And every time I went to the pub and had 10 pints of beer, I thought, yeah, I want to fight tonight. But in hindsight, I needed to get out of that environment, get away from it all, and then get my head back in gear and get focused. And I almost didn't make it to the training camp. There was about 5 or 6 times along the road to Spain, to Marbella, me and Ben, that I almost turned around 4 or 5 times. I was making excuses why I shouldn't go. I thought I'd just call off to Disneyland instead, Paris, but that didn't work. And we kept going. And Ben said, if I can only get him to Marbella, we've done it. And we ended up getting there in the end, Ben, didn't we? And the Mac is back. You know, I can't say how delighted I am to be finally back in shape. Finally set a date, because I was talking about it for a while, but everyone thought it was hot air, said I'd never get back. And it was really Deontay Wilder who spurred me on and gave me the ambition to return, because he said I couldn't do it. He said, definitely not, Tyson Fury's done. And I was walking along the canal with my dog at the time, and I thought, you know what, I'm a fat pig, look at the state of me. I felt like jumping in the water and drowning. And I thought, I'm going to turn this around, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to knock him out.
Tyson Fury says he'll have a couple of warm-up fights, and then he'll be ready to take on world champions Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder.
I don't fear any of them. They're all very good fighters and good champions, but I believe that with my talent and skill and confidence alone is enough to beat these fellas. I believe I could tie one arm behind my back and beat AJ and beat Wilder as well, and pick either one they want, left or right, to go behind the back. And that's how confident I am in my own ability.
That's former world heavyweight boxing champion Tyson Fury officially announcing his comeback fight on June 9th in Manchester, England. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I asked our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, for his thoughts on Tyson Fury getting back in the ring.
We've been laughing about how he looked like a sumo wrestler when he started camp. But the Gypsy King has been looking good. He's ready to do it in June. If he looks good in June, maybe one more fight. The fight with Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury in the UK is twice bigger than Anthony Joshua and Wilder, because the Gypsy King can talk up a fight. The Gypsy King can say trashy stuff. The press conference alone will make you run out of your house and go to the fight.
I did watch his news conference in Manchester, Nnamdi, and the media was laughing their heads off. It was so funny.
Sonny, that was just a press conference. How about the way in? How about the fight? You break down your door, running out of the house to go to the fight. I will fly from Hollywood straight to Wembley for that fight, Sonny. That's the money fight, not Wilder. Wilder needs to prove himself in America and sell out arena, beat some guys who can make the fans believe in him. We are here in America. He's okay. I mean, we call him the All-American Heavyweight. But, yeah, he was struggling against the Cuban. But fight some good contenders, and then this fight will marinate, and we'll look at spring of 2019. There will be no room. Pay-per-view numbers in America will go off the chain. We're talking about a million and a half pay-per-view buys. Everybody will make money. They may even walk away with close to $200 million apiece, Sonny. So why rush now? I've always said it, that fight belongs to 2019 spring.
Nnamdi, skill set aside, is Tyson Fury good for the heavyweight division?
Oh, Tyson Fury. He's the heavyweight that everybody wants to see. Remember, he did not lose a belt He left the ring with his belt. He calls all these guys holding belt the pretenders. No, I mean, as crazy as he sounds, but he brings people into the arena and he makes sloppy fights. He makes it look exciting. That's what heavyweight is about, and he can deliver the knockout punch.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta, delivering more knockout boxing commentary. And we'll hear more hard-hitting analysis from Namdi in the days to come. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. This interesting boxing factoid about Tyson Fury. His family has a long history in boxing, and the Gypsy King's father named him Tyson after then world heavyweight champion Iron Mike Tyson. And let me give another shout out, a Sunny Side of Sports shout out for Iron Mike Mbonye, who's been delivering some hard-hitting reports for the Sunny Side of Sports from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. Iron Mike Mbonye and Iron Mike Tyson, hard hitters for sure. In pro basketball, the NBA's Western Conference Finals resume later Wednesday night in Houston, Texas. That's where the Houston Rockets will host the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors in Game 2 of their best-of-seven series. The Warriors beat the host Rockets Monday night, 119-106, in Game 1. Kevin Durant had 37 points for the Warriors, while James Harden, the favorite to win this season's NBA Most Valuable Player Award, had a game-high 41 points for the Rockets. In the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals, the Boston Celtics overcame LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers Tuesday night. Gethin Kulbaugh reports from Boston, Massachusetts.
The Boston Celtics weathered the storm named LeBron James to go up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals with a 107-94 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 2 Tuesday. James had a triple-double with 42 points, 12 assists, and 10 rebounds. He scored 21 in the first quarter. Jaylen Brown led the Celtics with 23 points. Terry Rozier had 18, and Al Horford scored 15 with 10 rebounds.
We just play hard. You know, we go out there, we compete. You know, it's Celtics basketball. You know, we're really embracing Celtics basketball. We're playing hard. We got each other's backs. And that's it.
It's James' first 0-2 deficit in the East Finals since 2008.
We have an opportunity to go back home, protect home court. You know, we're going to use these days to really dive in on what needs to be done to help our ball club be successful. And they did what they had to do, and that was protect home. And now it's our, you know, it's our time to try to do that as well.
The Celtics have never lost a best-of-seven series, leading 2-0. Gethin Kulbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. Game 3 in the Celtics-Cavaliers series is Saturday night in Cleveland, Ohio. Tyronn Lue is the head coach of the Cavaliers. Hey, coach, what does your team need to do to turn this series around?
We got to be tougher. You know, I think they're playing tougher than we are. We see that. They're being physical. They're gooning the game up, and we got to do the same thing. So we got to be tougher mentally and physically.
Meanwhile, Coach Lue's coaching counterpart on the Celtics is Brad Stevens.
It's all about responding. They're going to make their runs. They're going to have their moments. And, you know, the most encouraging thing to me was that we weathered that storm, because it's easy to kind of fall apart there.
That's Brad Stevens, head coach of the Boston Celtics Basketball Club, and he was speaking in Boston, Massachusetts. Once again, the Celtics lead the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals 2-0, and it looks like right now the Celtics could possibly be heading back to the NBA Finals. They have the proudest pedigree of any NBA team. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'll have more National Basketball Association news. So please, keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net. Thanks, Dikembe. That's Congolese giant Dikembe Mutombo, a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. And I know Dikembe is watching the NBA playoffs. I saw him in Philadelphia just a while ago, a few weeks ago. He was at the Philadelphia 76ers-Boston Celtics game. The Boston Celtics did eliminate the 76ers. And while the NBA spotlight right now is on the cities of Boston, Cleveland, Oakland, and Houston, those cities host four teams left in the NBA playoffs, you might say the NBA spotlight on Tuesday night was also on the city of Chicago. That's where the NBA held its draft lottery. In other words, the sequence of how the clubs will pick in next month's NBA draft. And the big winner was the Phoenix Suns. They were given the number one overall pick in the lottery in the draft. Number two pick went to the Sacramento Kings. They're based in California. And the third pick in next month's NBA draft will go to the Atlanta Hawks. Now the focus goes to which player will the Phoenix Suns pick number one in the NBA draft. And the general consensus is that the Suns will go with either DeAndre Ayton, a center from the University of Arizona, described as a mountain of a man with impressive athleticism, or a European standout, Luka Doncic. Those are generally agreed to be the two top players in the 2018 NBA draft, DeAndre Ayton and Luka Doncic. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, those addresses, facebook.com/VOA Sunny and Twitter handle @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see an action-packed photo by Reuters photographer Ali Song taken at the recent Shanghai Diamond League athletics meet in China. And Ali's photo shows Kenya-born teenager Winfred Mutiel Yavi, who now competes for Bahrain. Well, Winfred fell during a water jump in the women's 3,000-meter steeplechase race, and you can see the water splashing all about Winfred Mutiel Yavi. But she did get up, and she finished the race. She finished eighth overall. And that wraps up the May 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
get it?
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Ambassador Alexander Lascaris, the Deputy Commander for Civil Military Engagement at United States Africa Command, or AFRICOM, held high-level meetings in Freetown, Sierra Leone, earlier this month as part of a series of engagements across West Africa. During the visit, Ambassador Lascaris, along with the U.S. Ambassador to Sierra Leone, Maria Brewer, met with President Julius Maada Bio to discuss key military, economic, and security-related issues. One topic of particular interest during the meeting was the need for a signed national maritime strategy to guide Sierra Leone's maritime agencies toward secure, sustainable, and profitable seas. The United States, in collaboration with the United Nations Development Program, recently funded a series of events aimed at finalizing a Sierra Leone National Maritime Strategy, a National Maritime Policy, and a framework for a whole-of-government approach to maritime security, which are now awaiting government approval. The participation of Sierra Leone's military in peacekeeping operations precipitated another fruitful discussion. The U.S. ambassadors stressed the need for Sierra Leone to focus on its forces' professional development and welfare in order to prepare peacekeepers that are disciplined, well-trained, and have strong leadership. In speaking with the new Deputy Minister of Defense, Simeon Sheriff, the U.S. delegation also offered to assist Sierra Leone in seeking out sound, economically viable options for training, equipping, and sustaining prospective peacekeeping forces. At the conclusion of his visit, Ambassador Lascaris commented that he was impressed to see how well the democratic process is working in Sierra Leone and congratulated the country for its successful elections and subsequent peaceful transfer of power. The delegation appreciated the opportunity to meet with President Bio and reiterated that the United States looks forward to its continued partnership with the government and people of Sierra Leone.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, as Burundi prepares for a May 17th referendum to extend President Pierre Nkurunziza's time in office, it battles allegations of harassment committed against perceived opponents of the referendum. Critical times in Burundi on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, managing editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.